D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, Derek Mason had to step out. I know that will upset our next guest, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column. And by the way, Elliot, your segment is now sponsored by Old National Bank. Get old. That is not a reflection of you at all, but that is your new sponsor. Elliot Freeman, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm just Googling it right now. Thank you to the great people at Old National Bank. But wait a sec. I have it in my contract that I don't have to appear if Derek's not there.
Derek, do you want to make a quick appearance just so that...
Just shout.
Just shout.
Just shout a question or something, Derek. Up.
Oh, he right, bailed. Oh, that's right, okay. Well, hold on. He's coming around.
What's going on?
Hey,
there
Derek,
we go. I have filled the requirements of the contract now.
Okay.
He made his appearance.
Derek, I listened to your rant about the Titans this week. That was epic. Very well done.
There's a lot going on with the Tennessee Titans,
boy,
Elliot.
Yes.
But
yes,
we're glad to get a bit of a palate cleanser with you.
So because I click on your links from quite a bit, I listen to Barry and I listen to some of the other stuff. I get like my For You tab. I get a lot of your clips on there because I guess the algorithm knows that I like your station. So like one of the first ones I got this week was the rant, and I said, oh, this is good stuff. Like, this is the good stuff that we sign up for. It was interesting.
Yes, there has been no shortage of conversation as it relates to the Tennessee Titans. But let's turn our attention to the Nashville Predators. They're back home after a long road trip, mostly through Canada. They lost 4 of 6 on that trip, completing the trip with a loss in Winnipeg the other night. I know that we spend a lot of time this season talking about the future of the Predators and what moves Barry Trotz could make. And there's one name that pops out to me when thinking about players who could be on their way out of Nashville, and that's Gus Nyquist. He is an unrestricted free agent. He's been traded at the deadline, I believe, two other times in his NHL career, having a rough season, had a career year last year, recently snapped, what was it, Willie, an 18-game goal drought.
Right,
Vancouver.
He's got more empty net goals than goals into the net this year. He's a very good shooter from long range, but he has not been the threat and consistent scoring force that he was last year.
I do wonder, Elliot, Gus Nyquist does, in terms of the archetype, he fits the mold of a lot of what teams are looking for around the trade deadline. Do you see Gus Nyquist generating a lot of interest as we near the trade deadline, not too long from now, a couple months?
I do. I like the thing is, like nobody would have predicted that this year would have gone this way for him. There's no question about that. I think one thing that will be very interesting is he is about to play in a bunch of games that are going to be meaningful. And I know some people in Predator land will roll their eyes at that because they'll say our games right now are supposed to be meaningful, and I don't want to discount that. But I have no doubt that he's going to be looking to put on a good show, too, at the Four Nations. I was a bit surprised he made that roster. I didn't know that he would based on the year he was having. But, you know, we get another opportunity to show something at an elite-level tournament where there's going to be a ton of great players. I think that could be good for him. But, you know, I think people know what Nyquist can do. Like, you'll remember the last big contract he signed it after a time where he'd been battling some injuries and hadn't performed at his best. So I think that people know how good he can be. They have respect for his ability. And while I don't think the price would be enormous, I do think there would be interest in him, absolutely.
One thing, to your point, Elliot, the Predators are playing a lot of teams that are expected to be in the mix in the postseason coming up. They're playing Washington, they're playing Vegas, they're playing Minnesota. So a lot of teams that could be interested. Speaking of the Four Nations face-off, which is about a month from now, do you think that break in the middle of February could serve as sort of an artificial trade deadline? Do you think that we could see a lot of action in the trade market leading into that week and a half, 2 week break next month?
Well, I don't know if I would say a lot, but I think you're on to something. I do believe that there are some teams out there who are going to look at it as this is a team that they're going to look at it as, we don't want to risk anything happening to a player that we might want to deal. And the one that a lot of people talk about is John Tavares from the 2014 Winter Olympics. He went to Sochi and won a gold medal with Canada, but he broke his leg in that tournament. And I remember how angry the Islanders were because it really hurt them. And, you know, what can you do? Players compete. This stuff happens. But I do think that there are some teams who are going to look at that and say, if we can make the move beforehand, we will do it. I think the one thing also, too, that's really could help you guys, Adam, is look at the Eastern Conference. Like 2 days ago, there was the worst team in the East was Buffalo, and they were 6 points out of the playoffs. The spread is much deeper in the West. Lou Lamoriello held a media conference or a brief media briefing, I guess, today, because he was updating the Islanders reporters on some injuries. And they asked him about Brock Nelson and Kyle Palmieri, both of whom are unrestricted free agents. And he basically said, why would we trade them? We're still in the race. So I think that because there is some separation between Nashville and the rest of the pack, and not only Nashville, but a couple other teams that are down there, I think those teams may have the advantage of saying, if we get in front of it first, we might be able to make some moves. Now, I will tell you, despite the road trip you mentioned, some of the people who were covering them or talking to the Predators during that trip were saying, you know, Nashville has not given up hope that they can catch that wild card spot this year. Now, there's a big difference in points. They've also played more games. Now, this was before they played Winnipeg, I should say. They're back. They've played more games. And the other thing that's a real problem is that there's a lot of teams between them. And with the loser point being as it is in the NHL, it's really difficult to leapfrog all those teams unless you go on an absolutely incredible tear. But I did think it was noticeable that the Predators were kind of talking about, we're not out of this yet, as opposed to, it's time to start selling.
Yes, Barry Trotz echoed that. He said, I'd like to watch it for another month or so. I guess what he's probably referring to is the time between now and the break where you have the Four Nations face-off happening. He said, we'll have a clearer picture. Now, even though he knows the odds, I think it's what, you know, depending on what website, analytics site you look at, 3-4%. But, Elliot, I guess it does hinge on, like, when we talked before Christmas and Nashville had a pretty good homestand going into the break, and you're saying, okay, it's starting to look a little bit better here, but they're still so deep in the hole, they're going to have to rip off a ton of games. I think one of the things that discouraged me was I was looking at the eight teams in the spots, and Vancouver was one of those, and I was thinking, well, who's gonna implode? But the thing about it is Vancouver has been very, tumultuous, to say the least, over these, you know, since we last talked, right? And Nashville's gone in there and beaten them again. So do you think Vancouver will recover? Because that's the team that probably has the pieces to be in there. But now you've got Luongo issues. You got the infighting. You had injuries to Hughes. You know, they're dealing with a lot of stuff there.
Yes, they are. I think that one of the things that kind of has happened here, and I was looking at it today, is they still got, despite everything that's happened to them, Willie, they still got a 575 points percentage. You know, it's not like they've been awful. Like I was doing my daily radio hit in Toronto in Canada today. And I was saying that the way we talk about them right now, you think they were in 40th place in a 32 team league, and they're still got a 575 points percentage. Like, that's pretty good. And they're, as you said, they're really banged up. They're going through a lot of stuff right now. And I, you know, ultimately I think they're going to sort it out, but nothing I've seen from them so far indicates that they are in a mood to fold. Like sometimes you see teams just hit the end of the road in a particular season and they just don't have anything left. I don't see that from the Canucks. They're fighting, they're scrapping. They played really hard last night. They lost in overtime on a total defensive breakdown against a really good team. Like, yeah, I mean, it's not going really well for them right now in terms of the drama, but Willie, they're hanging on. Like, they're really fighting.
They are. They are finding ways, even if they're picking up an overtime point. Kevin Lankinen, by the way, has a lot to do with that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he's played great. He's played really well. I've been very curious to see what's going to happen here because Lankinen has earned a raise in some security, and I'm curious to see if Vancouver's going to give it to him.
I want to ask one more interesting one about the Four Nations because, as you said, I'm sure every GM has their own take on what they're hoping for from the tournament. And, for example, Jussi Saros will be playing for Team Finland in there, and that's a great opportunity for him. But you're also looking at Jussi Saros as a Predator fan and saying, wow, he's already got the biggest workload or as big a workload as anybody the last 3 or 4 years. Does he really need to be playing these extra games? That's a concern. And what's it going to look like afterwards? But the one that really got my attention, and as you know, Elliot, the Predators went through Canada, so I got a lot of Canadian perspective watching the shows, watching you, watching the coverage of the World Juniors and everything. And one thing that came up was the Austin Matthews situation. Unique thing, because I'm sure there's hockey fans here that are going to root for Team USA. You have a superstar American player in the biggest Canadian market playing for Team USA in the Four Nations, and he's got an injury issue that basically, we don't know what it is, but it sounds like it's not going to heal itself. But there are people asking the question up there, what are his loyalties to the Maple Leafs? Should he even play in this if he's fighting an injury?
Well, I think the thing is, I do think this has been a conversation. And the one thing that Matthews has really tried to say is that, or so the Leafs and the people around him say, is it's too early to talk about this. And that's never going to work. We live in a hot take world and people have their hot takes. You know, generally, I think like Lou Lamoriello has a great saying, and I steal it all the time. It's if you have time, use it. And this is one situation where you have time. I thought it was really interesting that considering all of the discourse around it and the situation, Matthews picked a back-to-back to come back on. Like it's Saturday. So last Saturday, the Maple Leafs played Boston, and on Sunday, they had another game at home against Philadelphia. And he came out in the morning and he said, I'm playing tonight and I plan on playing tomorrow. Like we all thought maybe he was going to dip a toe back in the water, Willie, and let's just try it out. And now I'm more convinced than anything that his mind frame was, I'm coming back and I'm coming back. I'm coming back to play and I'm coming back to show I'm ready. And I think he's got 7 points in the 3 games he's played since he came back. He clearly saw what was going on around him, and he wanted to end the discourse. And for now, he has done so. Now, he had a quote last week that kind of set everybody ablaze. He said, I'm not sure it's going to get much better this year. And that one had everybody saying, uh-oh. But the fact is, if he plays like he's played this week, there's going to be no debate or no conversation about it. He's going to play.
Elliot Friedman joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Elliot, before we let you go, I have to give a shout-out to our fellow southern state, Florida. It was announced yes. by the NHL that there will be 2 outdoor games next season in Florida. We have Boston and Tampa Bay at Raymond James Stadium in a Stadium Series game and a Winter Classic yep. between the New York Rangers and the Florida Panthers at, I believe it's Lone Depot Park, where the Miami Marlins play.
Adam, just do what I do, where the Marlins play. Okay. That way you just don't have to worry about the names, yes.
Fair enough. But we know the success that the Lightning and Panthers organizations have had over the past several years, multiple Stanley Cup championships between them. I'm curious from your perspective, what the explosion of success of hockey in Florida has meant to the NHL?
Well, first of all, I think, as you said, Adam, I think they deserve it. And, you know, when the NHL went to places like Florida and Nashville, initially I was one of those snobby Canadians who was like, they're daring take our game there. What a joke. But with time, I've learned that that was a stupid perspective to have, and that the more people who get into hockey and get interested in hockey, the better off we all are. You want your sport to be bigger. I'm not one of those please like my sport guys, but I love the game, and I think as many people as possible should be able to experience it. And I think what's happened is that some of these places have become really great for the sport. Like your market, your city, your state has become great for hockey. We love coming. I can't tell you how many Canadians I know want to go down and see games in Nashville. And I think the same thing is the case in Florida. And, you know, you can talk about tax advantages all you want, but, you know, Florida didn't become successful, really successful, until they ran a consistently good organization. So I think what this does is it not only rewards the markets and the fans, and I do believe every fan base should be allowed to have an outdoor game in their area. They should be able to experience it because they're fun. But it's also a reward for a strong organization. And look, both the Tampa's now won 3 Stanley Cups. Florida, just they're the defending Stanley Cup champions. You earn it. And I think the other thing, too, is this year it proved, as special as Wrigley is, it had low television ratings. I think that this event is more for the people who are there as opposed to the TV. But you have to give people something interesting. And I really hope, like, people are like, what's an outdoor game in Florida? First of all, it's going to be covered. So if there's rain, they can cover it up. But secondly, I hope they lean into it and create something fun that people tune in on and say, that's cool. That's different. That's what I want to see here. I'm as special as Wrigley is, I'm a huge baseball fan. They've done it before, and the TV audience didn't find it different. So what is the NHL going to do next year in Florida to make it interesting? And that's the challenge, and I want to see what they can come up with.
Elliot, as we look ahead to Saturday, and we kind of monitor the Predators for the next few weeks, as we get closer to the trade deadline, I think you're going to hear a lot of talk about what to do, what not to do. But in the meantime, you've got Alex Ovechkin coming in on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a pretty special thing to watch, I think, for history purposes, because I'm amazed at how well he's played this year. Maybe you can help put perspective on that for maybe some of our listeners that might be going to the game that haven't really paid close attention, just how well he's playing and what he's on track to do here.
Well, okay, that's a great question. I'm 54 years old. I've watched hockey all my life. I was about 20. I was in my 20s when Wayne Gretzky broke the goal scoring record, and I was 29 when he finished his career with 894 goals. And basically, that's like when, when Hank Aaron retired and he had 755 home runs, nobody thought anyone was going to get there. Like, we thought that was unattainable. And we thought the goal scoring mark of 894 was unattainable, particularly since goals really started to go down in the NHL. It became a much more defensive league. Scouting got better than ever. It was much easier access to access other teams' games. We went through what we called the dead puck era. And all of a sudden, this guy Ovechkin comes along. And if you adjust his stats based on the era he played in, he really does go down as the greatest goal scorer ever. But I'll tell you a story. At the 2016 World Cup of Hockey, I did a sit down with Ovechkin. And one of my co-hosts, David Amber, said, you have to ask him if he thinks he can break Gretzky's record. And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, I think he can do it. If he plays long enough, he can do it. And at the beginning, I thought, Dave, you're nuts. But I didn't have any other great questions to ask. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I'm not joking with you guys. I asked him this, and he looked at me like I was insane. He said, it's not possible, basically. He just said it's not going to happen. So not only did we not think it was possible, but he didn't think it was possible. And the fact that he's got a chance to break it this year, like he's on pace to do it in the middle of March, it's as big and as unlikely as it was for Barry Bonds to break Hank Aaron's record. I don't think anyone saw it coming, and then all of a sudden it happened. Right now, I don't think anyone saw this coming, and all of a sudden there's a good chance it's going to happen, if not this year, then next.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet's NHL Insider, presented by Old National Bank. Elliot, despite the fact that you allegedly were a snobby Canadian at one point looking down on us southern hockey markets, we'll allow you on Broadway anytime you'd like.
Thanks very much. I love to come down there, and I'd hate to be banned.
I don't know if you're a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan. This is not Mocha Joe's. We will not ban you. We don't want you to
We
don't want you to start a spite team in Nashville just so that you can come down here. But
I'll incorporate a city right next to it.
Elliot Friedman joining us on the program. Elliot, always a pleasure. Talk next week. Elliot Friedman.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'll see you later.
All right. Elliot Friedman joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans next. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.